Well, good morning, everyone. I'm really surprised by the number of people that are out this morning. There was some snow on the roads, and it is freezing cold outside, and so I thought we'd be low in numbers. So I commend you for being here this morning, and I pray that the preaching of God's Word will just fill your hearts with joy. Those of you that have been praying for me and my family since Katie has been gone on vacation, thank you. We are surviving. Katie will be making it back today. I'm thankful for gift cards where I can take my kids out and let them have somewhat nutritious food while I'm gone. Those of you that have called and checked on us, those of you that told me specifically that you're praying for me, I truly need it. Thank you for that. Katie will be back. Be in prayer for her and Abby and Greta and Isaac, because they'll be coming back tonight late in the morning, that God will give them traveling mercies. And those times when I'm in favor of Katie going on a little getaway, at the beginning, I'm really excited for her. I really am. But halfway through, I'm really sad for myself. Life is really difficult without my life is really difficult without my wife. And I'm always reminded, as wives are really tough. Wives are just, mothers are amazing. I just watch Corey up here all the time with a baby strapped to her back and playing the guitar or the violin or singing or whatever. I'm just like amazed how God has uniquely equipped women, and especially mothers. So mothers, you're amazing. And I need to tell Katie more often how amazing she is. But with that being said, I want to encourage you to go ahead and look in John chapter 20 as we are now quickly coming to a close on this. It's been over a two-year-long process of going through this gospel, John's gospel. And I pray that it truly has been an encouragement to your heart and your soul. What John's purpose, and all the Gospels really, but John specifically, is showing Jesus as the divine Son of God, Son of Man. And naturally, being led by the Holy Spirit to be able to record the things that John recorded, he's been effective in doing so. There's no debate as who Christ is, as John has recorded in his gospel, that Jesus is the divine one, that he is the Son of God, Son of Man. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises. And in Christ, we have our yes and our amen. John has clearly declared that from John 1, and he continues to do so here through John chapter 20. And here we're just looking at two small verses, but yet profound in their nature. John recorded for us here in John 20, 30 and 31. And many other signs truly Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. John really focused on seven specific miracles in the earthly life and ministry of Christ Jesus. Now, the other gospel writers kind of fill in some other miracles that Jesus performed, but here are some of the ones that John specifically mentioned here through his gospel. In John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, his very first miracle was turning water into wine. In chapter 4, 46 through 54, we saw the healing of the royal official's son. In chapter 5, 1 through 15, we see that Jesus healed the paralytic person there at Bethesda. In John chapter 6, 5 through 14, Jesus feeding the multitudes. In John chapter 6, 16 through 24, we saw Jesus walking on water. In chapter 9, 1 through 7, Jesus healing a man who is blind from birth. And of course, Lazarus being raised from the dead in John chapter 11, 1 through 45. Here, John now is wrapping up his gospel by revealing that the miraculous signs that Jesus had performed included all of these miracles, not just his resurrection, but all of these miracles during his earthly ministry. And not only what John recorded, but many other miracles that Jesus performed in the presence of his disciples that John nor any of the other gospel writers could have recorded. Here, John, in writing about these miracles, what he is saying is that it was indisputable that Jesus was the Christ, that he was God. Miracle after miracle, these signs that Jesus performed proved his sovereignty, his power. It declared that he was the one who was to come to fulfill Scripture, and really undeniable evidence that this is the Christ. Now, of course, Paul writes for us in Romans chapter 2 that there are those who suppress the truth. They deny the power of God, but they see it in all that Christ has done, in all of creation. They know that there's a God in their heart of hearts. In reality, there are no true atheists. They may claim to be atheists, but Paul says they know the truth. They simply suppress the truth. And what we find as we studied through the Gospel of John is that faith isn't a blind faith. The miracles that Jesus performed, he performed in the open for all to see. There were those who saw Jesus' miracles and they believed that this was the Messiah. We saw this in John chapter 2, there when Jesus at the temple performed miracle after miracle after miracle. John even records there in John 2 that Jesus performed many miracles, and people looked at Jesus and said, "This is the Messiah." But again, they had their own thoughts on who the Messiah was instead of a scriptural understanding of Jesus. But even amongst those who doubted that Jesus was the Christ, they could not deny that the things that Jesus did, the miracles that he performed, only a person with whom God was with could perform those miracles. We actually see the magnitude of Jesus' miracles in John chapter 20, verse 20, 21, verse 25, where John recorded for us, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did." Now listen what John records for us. So I mean, we have no idea. We get a glimpse in the life and ministry of Jesus. We just get a taste of the miracles that Jesus performed. But John, writing of all of these miracles, he said, "Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." The world, the entire world, could not hold the recorded number of miracles that Jesus performed if they were written down. Could you imagine living at this time, the time of Christ, daily, multiple times a day, people being healed, the blind being given sight? I mean, this wasn't just one person. This would have been multitudes of people, people being brought to the feet of Jesus and Jesus performing miracle after miracle. Miracle after miracle. But it goes to show that all the evidence of the world is not able to bring someone to a true understanding and a true faith in who Christ Jesus is. There were countless thousands and thousands and thousands of people who denied that Jesus was the Christ. During the earthly ministry of Jesus, he performed so many miracles that John recorded that the world itself could not hold the record of it all. Here, and Jesus didn't perform these miracles behind closed doors. It wasn't just a few miracles in front of a few chosen people. No, this was put on full display for the world to see. Here, in all of these miracles, they were supernatural in nature. And what a testimony of Jesus' divine nature. No one could do the things that Jesus had done. And here we see in the scriptures that there was nothing too big, too formidable, too impossible for Jesus Christ. Why? Because he truly is the divine God-man. all things are possible with Christ Jesus. Jesus, as John showed us in John chapter 1, that he is the one who created all things, and by him all things were created and they're held together. There was no disease that Jesus could not cure. There was no disability beyond his ability to heal. Distance was not an obstacle for Jesus. He could just speak and it was done. Lack of faith could not hold back the divine power of the Son of God. No, not even death itself could claim to be mightier than the living God of the universe. Jesus has power and authority over it all. And there is no end to telling of the majesty, the power, and the authority that we find in Christ Jesus. And I do not know about you, but when I begin to contemplate the majesty and the wonder and the power and the authority of Christ Jesus, my heart cannot help but rejoice in the person and the work of Christ Jesus. When we truly begin to look upon the face of Christ, in my life anyhow, all the stresses and trials of life begin to dissipate and fall away as I look upon the face of the Savior. And then John tells us here in John 20, 31, the purpose for which he has written this gospel. He says, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." In John chapter 8, Jesus, having this dialogue with these Jews that wanted to stone him, he said in verse 24, he said, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." So John understood this. Again, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, you will die, and you will die in your sins, separated forever from the God of the universe, in a place of torment, in a place called hell. Jesus declared before all the world that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by him. So it is imperative for those who desire to have a relationship with God the Father, they must believe in God the Son. Again, in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 31, the Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I'm the Son of God?" Listen to verse 37 and 38. "If I do not the works of the Father, don't believe me." If there is no evidence to back up the things that I'm declaring, so be it. Don't believe me. Don't believe that I'm the Christ. But he says this, "But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works." Jesus is revealing to all of the naysayers, you may not believe what I say, but the things that I am doing, the works that I am performing, the miracles that are being accomplished through him, Jesus is saying they are undeniable, that they are from God. Believe the works. So why? That you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So John records these things for us so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believe you might have life in his name. Now we might just be thinking, well, that's just for unbelievers. That's just for the lost. This verse is for you, believer, as well. It's not just for unbelievers. This is for those who believe as well, in order that we might continue on believing, persevering for the glory and honor of Christ Jesus, that our lives daily are compelled by the love of Christ and the glory of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ and the wonder of Christ, that we continue believing from day to day that Jesus is the Christ. Oh, church, call people to turn to the Scriptures, or better yet, I pray that you would go out and proclaim to a lost and dying world what Christ has done. Go to this lost and dying world and tell the world to look to Jesus and live. Show them that He is the Christ. Call the world to taste and to see that the Lord, that He is good. His wonderful works declare that He is the Messiah, the Savior of all who believe. And Christian brother and Christian sister, when you begin to doubt who Christ is, remind yourself of these truths. Do not let men's philosophy compel you to doubt that Jesus is the Messiah. Do not allow your own weak, beggarly, fleshly nature to persuade you of anything else other than Christ Jesus being the God-man. I urge you, church, cling to the one who died on the cross for you. Cling to the one who shed His blood for the remission of sins. Cling to the one who suffered in your place, who bore the wrath of God in order that you may live, that you may have life. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have what? Life. Life, not just eternal life. It's not just eternal life. It's so much more. We can't wait to get to the streets of gold and to meet those who've gone on before. But the life that Jesus Christ gives us now is eternal life. But it's more than eternal life. This life that Jesus gives us is abundant life. It is true life. It is a life that is only found in Jesus. And here we proclaim this and we profess this, but all too often the church comes across as so weak. All too often there's envy and strife in the church. There's doubting and disputing. How come? Because we have taken our eyes off of Jesus Christ, the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me ask you this before we close. Where is Christ in our worship? Where is Christ when we pray? Where is Christ in our fellowship? Oh, church, we need Christ. All of us agree that we need Him, but are we pursuing Christ? And not only are we individually pursuing Christ, are we pursuing Him ourselves? Are we exhorting our brothers and sisters in Christ to pursue Christ? Is Christ truly our life? Are you living, breathing Christ Jesus? Is He the very essence of your life? Now, I've used this illustration before. I don't know about here, but My dad wore a certain cologne, is very distinct, and anytime I smell that cologne, I mean immediately there are memories of my dad that I can't recall at any other time, but when I smell this one particular scent, it just immediately reminds me of my father, and all a bunch of memories just flood my mind. What is the essence of your life? When you are around people, what do they think of? The aroma of your life, does it speak of Christ Jesus? Is there joy? Is there hope? Is there perseverance? Is there commitment? Is there dying to self? Is there prayer? Is there perseverance? All of these things are characteristic of those who are in Christ Jesus. And here we say we have life in Christ. Is it evident? And how is that possible? Are we operating out of the Spirit or out of the flesh? And how do we do this? It is by humbling ourselves. And when we humble ourselves, God will lift us up, because it is His strength, it is His power, and it is for His glory. Is Christ your life? And friend, maybe you're here this morning, you do not know Christ. Maybe you don't know how to know Christ. How do you know Him as Savior and Lord? Well, John, read through the Gospel of John. John said, I recorded these things so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life in His name. True life, abundant life, eternal life is only found in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this brief time that we've had together this morning. We thank You for Your word and how it exhorts us, admonishes us, encourages us, compels us. Lord, seek and know our heart and reveal to all of us, to myself here this morning, Father, those things that may be a hindrance in our walk and our relationship with Jesus. Help us to see those things for what they are and to confess them before You and to confess them before one another, to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, I pray that You would do a work in this local body of believers. For, Father, this service, this body of believers, it's not about us. We gather for the glory of the head, which is Christ Jesus. And in Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It is all Christ. And it is only in Christ we find true life. Oh, Father, help us in this endeavor to glorify You in all things and in all ways, to the praise and to the glory of Your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.